on 99.1 The Sports Animal and Fox 43 Sports in Knoxville. This is Tennessee Sports Night.
It's live on this Thursday, Tennessee Sports Night, Fox 43 and The Sports Animal. Will West, Heather Harrington here with you, getting you ready for Tennessee against Alabama. And of course, Thursday Night Football tonight, Chiefs against the Broncos. Heather, how are you doing today?
All right.
I haven't done Thursday with you in like forever, man.
I know. Where have you been? You ditched me. But
a lot of Fridays. I was decided to jump on top of a roof. And so between that and Brian Rice doing volleyball, I've been Mr. Friday night this football season.
So. Yeah. So it's been fun. But I can tell you, I'm glad that me and you are here today because, you know, I had a moratorium on even talking about the Tennessee-Alabama game until Thursday. So today's like my official first day of talking about this game coming up.
So I want to get into that in just a little bit because we threw out a Twitter poll this morning on the starting lineup. About 1,800 people voted on it on Twitter, and we asked this question. Be honest, are you still excited about the Tennessee-Alabama game? 62% of respondents said no, 38% said yes. Are you surprised by those numbers? We'll start there.
No, because I think the further this conversation goes on, the further the win streak goes for Alabama, then people just are inherently uninterested. And when you look at the last three meetings, Alabama has won 152-38. Are you looking forward to a root canal? Alabama has won the past three games, a combined 152-38.
That's painful.
Yeah, I think I had mentally blocked that they scored 58 points last year.
Yeah.
I had just like completely wiped that from my memory and then was going over the game notes this week earlier. And I was like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
It doesn't surprise me at all because one, this rivalry, two, maybe anyone under the age of 45, Florida's the bigger rival than Alabama is because of everything we saw
Georgia.
In the 90s.
Yep.
And now Georgia, and because of division, you know, the divisional realignment that happened in the early 90s as well in football. Two, it's not competitive at all. And the expectation is that it's not going to be competitive for the foreseeable future, too. So right now, like this year with two of the Death Star, Tennessee looks better in the front seven, but Tennessee's secondary still struggled against Mississippi State. They just couldn't take advantage of it because Mississippi State's not good. And now you go play a team with maybe four NFL starters at wide receiver and a guy that multiple teams are tanking for a quarterback.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is when you look at a 10-year span, 2009 to now, you've had two close games.
Yeah.
So again, what am I getting excited for?
They were
a root
surprising.
Canal? Like, yeah, eventually my tooth is going to be fixed after the root canal and everything's going to be great. Maybe Tennessee's going to cycle back up at some point, but in the immediate future, no, not looking forward to it.
So I'll ask you this. Do you think that, like, is Tennessee, if I gave you over under 3.5 years before Tennessee beats Alabama again?
I would have to know if I would say
is Nick
over,
Saban there,
is
right?
Nick Saban, has he retired yet? And who's taking over for him? Is Dabo taking over? Because no. It's way over then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all going to depend on who replaces Saban.
Jeez, and that's it's just tough to when you hear that. But Alabama, here's the thing. Alabama being the best that they have ever been, and they are better now than they were under Bear Bryant, this run by Nick Saban is.
Oh, yeah, this run, because Bear Bryant didn't have scholarship limitations, so it's a totally different game.
It's amazing what they're doing right now. One, you have them at their best. Two, Tennessee's never been this bad, right? Not in our lifetime, Tennessee hasn't been this bad. So when you combine the two, it's just a matter of, yeesh. Like right now, I almost look at this game as like, if you remember the movie Click with Adam Sandler, where you could just fast forward through life and get to the other parts you needed to get through. I wish you could just fast forward through this game this Saturday and let's get to South Carolina next week because Tennessee can beat South Carolina.
Absolutely. If they're healthy.
You know,
if you still have a team intact, we were talking with Braden Gall from over in Nashville on the game, and he was like, the biggest thing about this game, the only takeaway I want to see is that everybody's healthy afterwards to go play South Carolina because this is just a huge speed bump after gaining some much needed momentum versus Mississippi State. It's like, oh, boom. Okay. That got
Here's
us into
Death
a
Star,
brick wall.
Right?
Yeah. And how are we going to bounce back for the South Carolina game?
All right,
so, yeah, I agree.
I will ask you this. Brian Maurer, Jerry Garantano, who are you starting this week against Bama?
I honestly, you know, one, if they're both healthy, you got to start the guy that's going to give you the best shot at winning, which I guess is Brian Maurer. But I just feel like that concussion, it was really close. You know, he's back out at practice on Sunday. He's on the sideline for the second half of the game. I just think it's really bad optics. If he gets hit again or has any sort of incident, I feel like that is a really big talking point going into the South Carolina game. I don't know. I just, it's so hard to tell because you don't get to see anything. They don't tell you anything.
They tell you nothing. Yeah.
So, you know, we only have bits and pieces of the conversation here. I mean, but, you know, obviously his concussion has been very different than Riley Locklear's. I think we can all agree on that.
And look, and they did take his helmet. So there was at least that, but you're right. The fact that he was still on the sideline instead of back in the tunnel makes you
like
wonder, is there
a, the fans.
Is I couldn't help but wonder because watching him run off the field after the interception, he's moving his right arm like he's running and his left arm's hanging limp beside him. So I'm thinking, okay, does he have a neck stinger, right? And maybe we don't know about that or something like that. And you never know with a neck stinger, is that going to be a day or is that going to be 2 weeks? Like, you don't know how that long that's going to last. We also just are forced to read between the lines. And here's what I feel like I can take away from their belief in Jared Garantano, Tennessee's coaching's beliefs. They ran the ball 9 straight times when Jared Garantano came into the game.
They wanted that win, man.
Even on you have no choice but to pass downs, they did everything they could not to let Jared Garantano throw the ball. And when they did, it was in a very controlled environment that they let him throw the ball. So I don't think the coaching staff has a lot of faith in Jared Garantano. They clearly think Brian Maurer is the guy that gives them the best chance to win a football game. So you have to, in my opinion, as long as Brian Maurer is healthy, I can't look Trey Smith in the eye and Juwan Jennings in the eye and say, go to motivate this team and you guys go work and play your butts off every single game. But we're going to start Jared Garantano because we don't want to get Brian Maurer to get hurt before the South Carolina game because we don't think we can win this week and we think we can win the next week.
The caveat there would be he did suffer a concussion. I mean, the head coach is on record saying he had a concussion. So there's your out right there. That's why you don't have to play Brian Maurer. And two, I just think the game plan would be very different if they're getting Jared Garantano ready to play this week. I mean, they probably should be getting both of those guys
ready. Definitely, without question.
But yeah, they're not going to run it 9 straight times versus Alabama and think that they can do anything. They were just trying to hold on to a very elusive win. They got so conservative there. I think if they were preparing Garantano to start, you would see a much different playbook.
We're going
to
see the same game plan for Tennessee against Alabama that we saw from the Colts against the Chiefs, right? Run the football, try to not let them have the ball, limit the number of possessions that they get. That's what Tennessee's going to try to do. I mean, isn't that what they're going to try to do, is slow this game down?
I don't know, because they're definitely going to go slow. They only run like 60 plays, but maybe even less than that. But they can't run between the tackles. Who's running between the tackles?
They cannot run between the tackles.
Quavarius Crouch just going to jump over on the other side?
And the place that you get Alabama this year is in their secondary. Like,
exactly.
This isn't a normal Alabama defense.
Yeah.
This isn't... They've got holes.
They've got injuries.
And it's in their secondary, and it's the lack of pass rush that they have. My question, though, is Jeremy Pruitt, a guy who, my gosh, if he could go out there and just run 3 yards in a cloud of dust, he'd take it. I just don't know. I just think that's the game plan he's going to go with, is slow him down, limit the number of possessions. That's where I think they will do.
I know we are running short on time, but what do you think about the Arkansas high school football plan?
I would totally do that.
I think that's what I would do.
Like, if I lose
by 50.
I think
you just go down guns blazing. Like, who cares? You lost by almost 50 last year.
Exactly. If they're going to drop 50 on me anyway, what am I going to sit there and play conservative for? Like, why in the world would you do that?
I think you could actually catch them off guard for a little bit.
You never know.
Wait a second. It's 4th and 7. Why are they going for it?
How does South Carolina stay in that game with Alabama? They threw the ball all over the yard. They went no huddle. They went tempo. And they just slung it all over the place with Helinski. And that guy throwing triple coverage. And that guy would also throw incredible passes. And he got picked off and he threw touchdown passes. And they stayed in the game. And maybe if you can get some type of interception or two from Tua, which good luck there. Maybe you can somehow, some way, pull off this upset or at least keep it close. All right. After the win against Mississippi State right now, what is your projection for Tennessee's record at the end of the year?
I think I still have 4-8. We'll see how everything shakes out. I think 5 is absolutely the ceiling. I am still not in on the bowl
game.
Talk.
No South Carolina, Kentucky, Vandy, UAB.
I mean, because when's the last time they did that? I just feel like, if for every game that you do win, are you trading off somewhere else? Who knows? I mean, it's definitely still mathematically a possibility, but I'm kind of in the show me state. I'll believe it when I see it.
I think 4-8 is probably the most likely outcome as well. 5-7 is definitely not off the table.
Yeah, I mean, because remember, they're at 2 right now. They're at 2.
We'll come back on the other side. It's time for the checkout next. Tennessee Sports Night, Fox 43 and the Sports Animal.
This segment of Tennessee Sports Night is brought to you by United Grocery Outlet. Shop us first.
It's powered by UGO. It's time for the checkout on Tennessee Sports Night. Will West and Heather Harrington here with you on this Thursday ahead of the Alabama game. The checkout's this. Our big takeaways from the top five stories in the world of sports right now. Heather Harrington will start here. Myles Garrett, noted monster in the weight room, says a fan asked him to take a picture with him, and then the guy sucker punched him.
Yeah,
your he thoughts actually, like, on that?
Pulled over too. Yeah. They were in their vehicles. I'm a little convoluted on all of the details. It's kind of a weird thing, but yeah, they got him to pull over, and so he's going to take a picture with these guys, and just right after they take a selfie, the guy sucker punches him. I mean, one, he's lucky he was in a getaway car, because I'm pretty sure Myles Garrett didn't stop. Kill him. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, so look, I think that you don't even charge this guy to police fine him. You just let Myles Garrett hit him back. And that's what you do. And whatever he gets is what he gets,
for doing that.
Myles Garrett's a monster. If you haven't seen, there are videos of Myles Garrett this offseason with 50-pound dumbbells doing 36-inch box jumps, holding 50-pound dumbbells. Yeah, that guy's a freak.
Why would anybody want to hit this guy?
He's a really nice guy, it seems like, too.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Why would you want to hit anyone?
Cool, and he's playing for your team, and I get it. Your team's a little bit of a disappointment at this point, but still.
But it's not his fault. It's Baker Mayfield's fault if you want to punch somebody. All right, Pro Football Focus in their latest mock draft has Joe Burrow, not Tua, as the top QB for the 2020 NFL draft. Are you buying that?
No, not yet. CBS, the top three are still Tua, Justin Herbert, Jake Fromm. Mel Kiper still has Tua number one. So I think until Tua like suffers a major injury or something, I mean, the sample size is just huge on him. I don't see how anybody would not be taking him with the number one overall pick.
Are we getting okey-doked by mediocre quarterbacks because they're in dynamic RPO systems, and then once they get to the pros, they can't play Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray?
When you said that about Pat Mahomes, though, he was in a very quarterback-friendly system.
He was in a more air raid than RPO, and that's why I wonder, but you're right, they did run a lot of RPO at the time that he did that, and Lincoln Riley came from that air raid background. Yeah. To running so much RPO at Oklahoma, I just wonder where Burrow, like he absolutely was not this at any other point in his career. So has he improved that much, or is this just a product of the system that he's in?
Well, I don't know, because it's kind of a new system too at LSU. So, you know, that's kind of like asking, what would Bill Belichick have done without Tom Brady? What would Tom Brady have done without? I mean, we don't know. We know what Joe Burrow is doing right now, and it's very impressive, but you're still going to have to take the sample size for what it is. I mean, Tua has never played in a fourth quarter because he's, you know, beating teams like a drum.
Now, he's small, and he does have a problem of trying to get it all in one play a little bit too much.
But he gets a little greedy.
He does. But look, you can afford to get greedy when you're doing it so often, right?
Yeah.
Bobby Scott said on Saturday with us on Football Digest that Tua is the most accurate quarterback he's ever seen.
Oh, and that hurt Bobby to say it.
That you could see the pain in his face because Bobby hates Alabama.
Twitching.
Yeah, like he got flinched a couple times. You know what I mean? As he said it, kind of had a little twitch going on.
The guy that still looks forward to the Alabama-Tennessee game.
He refers to going to the bathroom as taking an Alabama. So that's what Bobby Scott does. You're right. He still does look forward
to
that.
Mitt Romney
says there will be a name, image, and likeness bill passed at the federal level coming soon. Are you buying that?
Who knows? You know, Romney is still kicking around the idea of running in 2020, and it seems like every official that's up for re-election at this point is jumping on. I think they term it pandering. Like, oh, what's going to fire my base up and give me some voter points? So I don't know what's coming. I mean, you still have a long way to go. There's been, what, five states kind of jump on board after what California announced. So there's still way too much time to be able to tell.
I don't understand how this is constitutional. And I don't understand why players haven't collectively got together to sue for antitrust violation for the fact that someone else owns your name, image, and likeness, and you don't own your name, image, and likeness. And so I just look at it and just think, like, maybe I'm very libertarian with it about this type of thing, but I just think that it constitutionally, a citizen of the United States of America that's a grown adult, you own your name, image, and likeness, and no one can tell you you don't own your name, image, and likeness.
Until you join an organization,
which the NCAA is
an organization, and I'm sure that's in the paperwork somewhere. I didn't check my scholarship, but it was probably in the fine print.
All right, finally, the Titans going to start Ryan Tannehill in place of Marcus Mariota against the Chargers Sunday. Right decision?
I think it's a mistake. I don't think Tannehill's going to give you anything better, and I think you ride out the season with Marcus Mariota because you're making a decision on his future, so you got to get as big of a sample size as possible. Bitch him in the game. Like, I have no problem benching him in a game after two turnovers, but benching him as a starter, I don't know what it's going to prove.
Chiefs Broncos Thursday Night Football will give you a preview coming up on the other side, as well as the ALCS, Tennessee Sports Night, Fox 43 and the Sports Animal.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, The Sports Animal.
All right, Tennessee Sports Night taking you right into Thursday Night Football tonight on Fox 43. Big matchup in the AFC West, Heather. Chiefs against the Broncos. It's a Chiefs team that started out 4-0. Now they've lost two straight. Against a Broncos team that started out 0-4. Now they've won two straight. 3-point line is all that separates these two teams, and things get wonky sometimes on Thursday. Who do you like in tonight's matchup?
I still like the Kansas City Chiefs, and I get what you laid out. I looked up ESPN's FPI, the predictor, and I think they give them like a 63% chance of winning. I do like the momentum that Denver has had ever since they started putting A.J. Johnson out there as a starter. Yeah, they've won two straight.
He's been really, really good.
He's been really good, so congrats to him. But I just think the Chiefs, even with everybody being out, like Sammy Watkins, I mean, that's a huge loss for the Chiefs, but I still feel like they're the better team, and the better team in the NFL usually wins, but that's not always the case.
Here's what's weird. Offenses sometimes just don't get it going on a Thursday night. And if that's the case, the Chiefs are not beating anybody with defense. That's not happening here. I just don't think that Denver, Joe Flacco's not been as bad as people think that he's been. I just don't look at this Denver team and think that they can exploit some of the issues in the secondary and the lack of pass rush that the Chiefs have here. Can they run the ball with Phillip Lindsay? That's going to be the big question for the Denver Broncos here to get this win. And can they get after Patrick Mahomes and make him uncomfortable? I do think that Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if you saw the stats, I think since the ankle injury, about 42% completion percentage before the ankle injury, almost 70%. Yeah. So, it's made a difference for him. I don't know that he's 100% healthy, but I do think he's probably healthy enough that the Chiefs get the win tonight, and I like them to win and probably cover the 3-point spread.
Yeah, you hit on something right there, though. If Denver starts running the ball effectively, the Chiefs have such a bad defense at this point, they're not going to be able to stop it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I still am going with the Chiefs.
All right, other NFL games this weekend, Philly and Dallas.
Yeah, the Sunday night game.
That's a very nice game there. Philadelphia, Dallas. Dallas started out 3-0, and since then it's not gone particularly well, right? It seems like defenses are catching up a little bit with what they have going on.
They're just playing better teams. Well, yeah,
there's that too.
But minus the Jets.
they're catching up with what Kellen Moore's offensive system is. And you have two starting tackles that were injured at the end of the day.
Yep.
They both practiced today for the first time, 100% for the first time in a while. So how do you feel about your Cowboys opportunity against the Eagles this weekend?
The bottom line is the Eagles haven't been able to figure it out either. So they're not looking like the Super Bowl champs that I had predicted from the beginning of the season. So this is kind of a must-win game, especially to take the torch in the NFC East, which I think the NFC East is only going to get one team into the playoffs.
It gets trash otherwise.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's like winner take all, and you're going to be the front runner in the league and see how everything else plays out. I mean, I think both franchises are in a must win.
Yeah, it's like the winner of this one, they get put some in the driver's seat to win the East. You're right. Only one of these two teams is probably going to get into the playoffs, and there is no chance the Giants or the Redskins get into the playoffs from here. Other games of note out there, Seattle against Baltimore, kind of a sneaky game. Seattle's been a lot better than I think most of us thought they were going to be, and it is all, let's just put this on Russell Wilson's shoulders and let him go make plays for us.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is having totally an MVP caliber season.
If it wasn't for McCaffrey,
point,
I would say he'd be the guy you give the MVP to.
Yeah, I think those are the guys that are the conversation is totally surrounded right now. I have the Seahawks is like number 5-6. I kind of don't know if they're better than the Texans or right there with the Texans, since the Texans have been kind of hot. But if I'm power ranking, I mean, the Seattle is right there in the top five conversation.
All right, but Saints against the Bears, also a pretty interesting game in the NFC this week.
Yeah, and what, the Saints are 4-0 without Drew Brees.
Teddy two gloves, get the job done, right?
Yeah, it's just mind-blowing. So congrats to Teddy Bridgewater, because he's going to get paid after this season.
Yes, he is.
Even though I still don't think he's like a starter, but hey, he only signed a one-year deal, so he's going to get some money.
$14 million a year from somebody. Worst-case scenario, they have a rookie quarterback and they use him as the backup that's higher paid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be fantastic, and I still don't know what's going on with the Bears. You have an amazing defense. Your offense
sucks. They miss
Vic
Fangio. They missed Vic Fangio, and they missed out on drafting Mitchell Trubisky. It was just, I mean, the idea that you could have had Patrick Mahomes or you could have had Deshaun Watson and you drafted Mitchell Trubisky and you traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. Not great. Not great whatsoever.
Not great,
no, not at all. We'll come back with Last Call coming up on the other side. We've got so much to get to. ALCS Game 4 is tonight. Can the Heather's Astros grab a hold of this thing and go up 3-1 against the Yankees? We'll talk about it next. Tennessee Sports Night, Fox 43 and the Sports Animal.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Last call, Tennessee Sports Night, Fox 43 Sports Radio, WNML, Will West, Heather Harrington here with you. All right, Heather, your Houston Astros. We're trying to get back into the World Series for the second time in the last 3 years.
Hashtag take it back. That's been their motto all season.
Okay, yeah. Taking on the Yankees tonight. They're up 2-1. Tanaka versus Greinke. Rain postpones things last night for them, so we'll have a game tonight and tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium. How do you feel about your Astros' chances tonight against the Bronx Bombers?
I actually picked the Yankees to tie up the series after tonight. I think Tanaka's just going to be hard to beat in New York, and apparently the fans have not been very hospitable. My mom was giving me a briefing of the 5 o'clock news down in Houston earlier before we started the show, and she said that they were kind of throwing some things onto the field during the last game and, you know, hurling in insults. And so, yeah, it's been a little bit of a contentious series up in the Bronx.
I gotta be honest with you, the nicest fans I've ever been to, like, as an opposing fan in their place, was in New York.
I loved it when I was there.
Yeah, so that's kind of surprising to see that, but maybe playoffs bring out just a different caliber of fan, and also more alcohol. That's possibly a thing that happens. So you like the Astros tonight?
I like the Yankees tonight.
Do you like the Astros to win the series?
Yeah, I still like the Astros to win it. You know, you just can't bet against that lineup. Not only do you have Verlander and Cole, and Cole is just being amazing.
And that's it.
But also the batting. I mean, Carlos Correa, he's in a slump, and then all of a sudden it's a grand slam to win game two.
Yeah, and it's also, but Springer, Altuve, he was the fourth best bat on that line on that roster anyway. So they just have so many different guys that can hurt you. And again, Verlander and Cole, give me them over what the Yankees have with the arms, even though I picked the Yankees to win the World Series at the beginning of the season. All right, one college football game tonight, UCLA against Stanford. UCLA against Stanford is the Chip Kelly farewell tour, most likely, because I think he's about to be done as a coach in football.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on with him.
Everybody picked up on the read option, and now he doesn't have another gear to go to.
Yeah, and I think UCLA, they're in Tennessee's shoes. You know, they're just so depleted from a roster standpoint. I mean, nobody's going to UCLA.
No, they're not.
So it's tough, and when you get in that down cycle, it's hard. If you can't sign 40 guys, it's hard to hit.
Yeah, I will also say, if you watch UCLA, they have open receivers running around all over the place, and no quarterback that can hit an open receiver. And that's just the problem that they have. That's not
a recipe for success.
It's not. And that's, they should have won two other games so far if the quarterback can just hit open guys in the end zone.
Positive, though, for them and Chip Kelly, Stanford kind of sucks.
That's
too
true. So. Stanford does kind of suck. Thursday Night Football is coming up on Fox 43. Thanks, you guys, for giving us your time. Tennessee Sports Night, Will West, Heather Harrington. Thanks a lot, everybody.